It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. This is the Tarncast. All right, welcome to the Tarncast. Our theme today is God and Oh God, Miss Hill's discussion of sex and religion. So I'd like to welcome our very special guest, Mr. Todd Robert Anderson. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Miss Hill.
So can you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you grew up, what your thrust in life is?
I'm a 6 foot tall, ginger 40-year-old man. I grew up in Massachusetts. I am an actor, and my thrust in life is to try and make as much money as possible and stomp out people who get in my way.
How's that going so far?
Really not. Not well, because I don't really have the heart to stomp on people, but it's a goal. I'm working
towards
it.
It's a good goal, but the money thing is working out like gangbusters.
Oh, yeah, millions. Millions.
Dropping bags at your door.
Millions of dollars.
Good.
Yeah, millions.
Good. That's
millions upon millions.
Well, I'm so glad that despite your intense richness that you decided to grace us with your presence.
Well, you know, it's my nice. PR people said this would be good and make me more relatable.
It does humanize you to be on my show.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now.
That's what I've heard.
If nothing, it does bring down the ego.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. I'm sure it does. Yeah, I don't doubt it.
So, I'm so glad you're here to talk sex and religion with us today.
Sex and religion.
It's, you know what? I really like this segment because I feel like it's the two topics that are the most scared of. They're the topics you're not supposed to talk about at dinner, and yet they're the best topics that are out there. Why wouldn't you want to talk about sex and religion?
At dinner, actually, for me at dinner, that's all I talk about is sex and religion.
Yeah. With your family, and it's just...
Yeah, with the children, yeah.
Where are you from, again?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts? Yeah. They're big on sex and religion in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts is all about sex and religion.
Oh, it's like they're repressed huge. Sex a little, or not?
Yeah, very.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's what makes it hot.
Yeah, repressed
it's so
sex
naughty.
Is...
It's so naughty.
It's
repressed
good.
Sex, yeah, that's the best.
It's like a nun and priest, you know, role play sex, that kind of thing.
Oh, I can't get enough of the nun priest role play sex. It's just wonderful.
It's quiet.
It's very quiet, and then it involves a lot of guilt.
Now you're speaking my language, Todd Robert Anderson. Okay, let's get to our first question. Jolene from Wharton would like to know why. And actually, this is a good question.
Where's
Jolene,
Wharton?
Thank you. It's actually not Horton, it's Wharton, Wharton, it's like W-H-A-R-T-O-N, Wharton.
Horton.
But I just assumed Horton, because with the W-H.
Yeah. Is this in California?
When Horton? You take voice classes and there's a W-H.
No, called. You're obviously a professional, yes. I'm not a professional.
I'm sitting
I'm
right
just
here.
Just a millionaire. That's all I do.
I see. So let me help you.
I make money.
So Horton.
Horton.
And I like this question because I agree with this. Why are there no good words for female genitalia? And let me, you know what? Relating to this question from Jolene, let me just preface this by saying guys have a wide variety of words for their dick.
Mm-hmm.
It's like cock is hardcore.
Medical
it's intense.
Terms. Penis.
Penis. Even penis has something over vagina, which feels dirty and wrong somehow. It's too...
Are you sure that that's the word itself or the societal, influence?
Okay.
And makes the word sounds dirty only because you've been conditioned to feel that way.
The vagina's a dirty...
Because, I mean, if you were like, I much prefer the word vagina. Because vagina, that's got to, like... punch to it, you know, it's not annoying at all. It's a vagina.
Yeah.
You know, but penis is, it's got that penis. It's a penis.
It is a little wimpy sounding. But then you don't have to, you've got cock or dick, which is like the easiest, most neutral word for your genitalia there is.
But
what do we have? Cunt? Pussy? You say that and those are fighting words. fighting or fucking?
Bearded clam.
Really?
The pink taco.
How often in conversation does that just slide off the tongue?
Bearded
clam. I don't mean that literally.
Pink or pink taco, which one?
I would say either. Just are not comfortable in conversation.
Those are just the terms I use when I'm speaking about vaginas with my parents.
You just bearded clam is
bearded
something
clam
that comes naturally to you.
One of those, yeah.
So why are there no good words?
I'm not 100% sure that there aren't. I mean, what's wrong with the word pussy?
Women don't feel comfortable using it, so maybe that's closer to what it is.
Well, but it doesn't sound like the argument here is. It sounds like women are not comfortable with any of the slang terms,
mm-hmm.
Whereas men are. But I don't necessarily know that that means that the slang terms for a vagina are better or worse than the slang terms for a penis.
But what would be the equivalent of dick?
Well, I think the equivalent of dick is probably pussy.
Dick and pussy. See, pussy sounds a lot more hardcore than dick.
What do you mean hardcore?
It just is a stronger word on the ears. Most women in the world, I mean, I'm totally comfortable with the word pussy.
Mm-hmm.
But most women I know, if I was just talking to them, I said, oh gosh, you know, yeah, I had to pick up this cream for my pussy. They would, it would not go over easily. Whereas, you know, my dick was really hurting in these jeans. I had to get a different pair.
But again,
don't you think those are not really equivalent?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they don't. Because what you just said is women are not as comfortable saying, you know, I had to get some cream for my pussy.
Right.
And a guy's comfortable for saying, I had to get some cream for my dick.
Right.
I don't think that's the words. I don't think it's necessarily the words.
You think it's.
I think it's societal conditioning that makes it harder for women to use nasty words or naughty words for their naughty parts.
Mm.
Also, you know, the vagina in a lot of ways has been put on a pedestal.
Mm.
So it's almost like, and the penis is not, you know, hasn't been put on the same pedestal.
That's true.
So it's like, who cares what you call it? But a vagina is so special. It's a flower.
Okay, good. And this brings me to something I've added to Jolene's question, which is, I want you, Todd Robert Anderson, to right now make up a new word for a woman's privates.
Make up a word for what, the vagina.
For vagina.
Oh, man.
Which, by the way, technically is not accurate, because the vagina is the tunnel. It's the tunnel after the external parts. All the external parts have nothing to do with the vagina.
Labia and the
But people are confused about that a lot.
Well,
I can see her
vagina.
No, you can't. Not unless you
are inside
with, looking it with down
her
hole.
Head
yes.
Inside her vagina.
Exactly. I just want to clarify.
Or you're seeing that movie. What the heck was it called?
Oh my God! I don't know.
Enter the void. Enter the void. Exit the void. Entering the void.
Oh, is it like a baby
void
perspective or something?
Well, no. There's a perspective. There's a shot in the movie, which is why I think one of the many reasons I think it's got an NC-17 rating. But it's it's a perspective from the vagina, from the back of the vagina. So you see the penis in the vagina coming
towards
the camera.
Wow!
From inside.
When did that come out?
A few years ago. I saw it on Netflix streaming.
Wow, that's pretty... That's
hilarious. Someone was like, this movie blew my mind. And I was like, all right.
I'm sure
it's a very
did.
Bleak picture, but it does certainly have some elements where you're like, well, I haven't seen that before. I don't know if it's good or bad, but certainly I hadn't seen anything like
that. The director chose some new things
there were
to
some very,
introduce you to visually.
Very new things, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry. I interrupted your train of thought. Mm-hmm. New word for female genitalia.
New word for female genitalia. How about Candyland?
Candyland. Awesome. So I could say will you please touch my Candyland?
Yeah.
Or is it just go to Candyland?
Or I'm going to check out this chick's Candyland tonight. I'm going to Candyland. Yeah, exactly.
Like you
and then when it doesn't work out, then you can say, you know,
I slid down Peppermint Lane.
Yeah, I got stuck in Molasses Swamp.
Ooh.
And I didn't.
Stinky.
I didn't get to Candyland, you guys.
I like that. Candyland. Okay. I thought you were going to go with something flower-like because you were just saying, it's a beautiful flower.
And that's true. So that's
but
true. But I couldn't...
Candyland. That's good.
I couldn't
good.
Think of a good flower name.
That tells our listeners a lot about your view of the vagina.
Mm.
Or the vajayjay. That's the most comfortable one for women right now.
Yeah, women will say vajayjay. Yeah.
Vajayjay is very popular.
Yeah.
It's a way of skirting vagina.
It is.
It makes vagina playful.
Well, it's important to wear skirts over your vagina.
So says you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get to Blaine from the OC.
What's up, Blaine?
What's going on, Blaine? Really like that name. It reminds me of a lot of movies that I saw that I think Andrew McCarthy might have played the part of.
Oh, he played a lot of Blaines?
I feel like he did.
Probably.
I might not be telling the truth, but I feel like I am.
Was his name Blaine in that Weekend at Bernie's picture?
Maybe.
I might have been. I don't know.
if I had my my iPhone, I'd be all over that right
but
now.
You but you don't.
I don't.
Yeah.
No. And it's not appropriate on the air.
No, it's not. You don't want to. And you could, the iPhone, if you get on Wi-Fi, it'll mess up the feed. And
oh,
that
that's, of course, I knew that. So, because I am a professional.
Right. You know what you're doing.
Okay, more sex.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think a man's drive to impregnate every woman on the planet is nature or nurture?
Nurture?
Nurture.
What do you mean by nurture?
I believe isn't on the line, but I'm assuming...
They want to help?
No. This is a nature or nurture is the question of whether or not it's built into a biology and it comes naturally, or it's something that society has built up. And created
nurture
by its
means to
definitions.
Build. I thought that was to take care of, to nurture.
That's
to grow something. So
well, in a way that still is the same definition. So it's like nature versus nurture is does it happen naturally
or
is it because of
society
creating it and nurturing it to be so?
I think that you know, I don't think there's a simple answer to that question,
mm-hmm.
and I think. Yes, science, biology, men are driven to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, the weird argument here is like, are human beings really like naturally monogamous, or is that something that we've placed on ourselves? And I don't know about that.
Mm.
Because there seems to be a certain biological reasons to stay with one partner, but I can also understand, you know, you spread your seed. Because most species on the planet just want to spread their seed in as many places as possible. So,
But not all.
And I don't know the answer to... it's a hard question to answer. But I'd say as far as, you know, wanting to do it, I would say that sex drive in men is biological.
Mm-hmm.
As far as whether it's humping, a drive to hump one person or as many as possible, I don't know.
I kind of feel like this question is leaning more towards that the idea that most men, as they meet women or see women, have a natural fantasy. What she looks like naked.
You're asking,
regardless of
do you think that's
hot chicks or not,
conditioning.
Yeah.
And
you say that it's a little bit of both.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that sex drive is very real, and not created by society. I would say that on some levels, I would say society has manipulated that.
Mm-hmm.
Simple sex drive, and you know, put labels and I don't know onuses on it that may not necessarily exist without society.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And then I was going to ask, which is it for you?
Which is it for me?
Yeah. Do you feel like most of your drives happen naturally, or do you feel like you've been largely influenced by things you've seen and society is pushing in from the outside?
I would say I basically the same answer for myself.
Mm-hmm.
My sex drive is very real, and it's very influenced by society. And when I say society, I mean pornography.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you think, since we're on pornography, good or bad?
Pornography?
Mm-hmm.
It's...
I know, it's not a blanket, but I'm making you...
I mean, I would say that mainstream porn, there's alternative pornography,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is healthier
mm-hmm.
psychologically. Unfortunately, the majority of porn, mainstream porn, tends to be very misogynistic. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of alternative porn that's hard to come by, and it's very expensive, and much of it is produced in San Francisco. A lot of it is gay, or, you know... I don't know, but you know, more fetishy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like pervasively misogynistic. But I would say, you know, most mainstream porn is that. So I would say that is negative,
and it's definitely moving more and more that direction.
It gets with more extreme.
The hard blowjobs that are getting really popular right now with the streaming mascara and the gagging.
Yeah,
and
I don't think that is what most women would choose to do.
But don't in I
but
feel
I'm,
like
I have on one hand I have no problem with it. It's a fetish if
right.
you're into that and it's consenting adults. It's just odd that all of it
is going
has
that
this
direction.
Like violent edge to it.
But don't you think that that's partly because people are getting numb to what they've already had? It's like for decades, since, you know, the 20s, there's been mm-hmm. porn. And probably earlier just wasn't recorded. So you've got porn that's been had its gradual in building an intensity of activity between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, there was just the, you know, the setup of the cum shot, basically. The
mm-hmm.
blowjob, the eating the pussy, the fucking, the mm-hmm. and then they added anal, and then it's a cum shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that for so many decades, you have that.
They're
and
the
then
formula,
you have
yeah.
to build, that people are needing something more.
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 That's true. Why I guess because it's a male-driven industry. Although, you know, the numbers show that not as many women, but a lot more women than you think
mm-hmm.
are, you know, consumers of pornography. Why? But I think it's because the business perceives it as a male-driven,
yeah.
you know... the money is made mostly for men, then they lean towards those more
mm-hmm.
misogynistic fantasies.
Hence, fat, ugly dudes and skinny, hot,
well, that,
as young
that,
as possible
that's,
chicks.
That's what, but that's not misogyny. That's
no, it's just they're gearing towards
an
men.
Inequality of yeah. There are a lot of, I think, well-built men in pornography now. I mean, I think the bodies in pornography. And there is plenty of that too. But I would say in mainstream pornography,
mm-hmm.
you know, the vivid stuff, everybody's got really incredible.
Oh, that's true.
It's a very,
yeah.
That's
Hollywood,
just,
like
that's reflecting Hollywood. Though.
Yeah.
That's not the porn industry. That's Hollywood. The
right.
porn industry tends to imitate what Hollywood, what is popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's porn. I think that's Hollywood and just the media in general
mm-hmm.
and what they choose to focus on and make ideal.
So what's your favorite topic in porn?
Because
you're going to go to the porn store and go to a particular end of the store. Where what are you reaching for?
I like videos with middle-aged married couples seducing single women.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't
interesting.
Know, I
is there
don't
a
know.
Big market for that? Is that a big section of the porn store?
Well,
I have not noticed.
It's not
it.
Very often that I get into porn stores. Mostly, you
right.
can find these things on the internet. There's not a tremendous amount of that, but there's enough.
Uh-huh.
You know, to keep me satiated.
So how does that work exactly? So it's the middle-aged couple hanging out artificially at an Albertsons, and they're just like, hey, how's it going? So where are you from? It's the whole pickup?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Huh.
Hey, you want to go back to our place and swim in the pool?
I was about to say that. I was about to say, you look sweaty. You can look hot.
Yeah,
would you like to refresh yourself?
Have a great pool. Yeah, that's exactly.
On my Candyland?
Just this, yeah.
This would you come back and...
conversation is filling my head with wonderful pictures.
Do you journey to my Candyland?
Well, I want to cool off in my Candyland? Yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what I like.
Fantastic. That's interesting. All right. So, this is funny. We've already touched on this next question. Lucille from Tully would like to know, is marriage an antiquated arrangement?
Is marriage an antiquated arrangement?
I mean, I actually think
in a lot of ways it is. Mm-hmm. I think that's another societal pressure that I think should go away. We have such a high divorce rate, and I think it's because people are pressured into getting married, and there's so much that you can't know about a person until you're spending time with them, and the fact that there's all this paperwork involved, and it can't just be a clean break and blah, blah, blah. Well, you take what you brought into it, I took what I brought, and the stuff we got together, we'll divvy up and make it amicable. Right. You know, some people, and people change over time. We live way longer and all those things. So I think those are all solid arguments. And I think that, the majority of people aren't necessarily supposed to get married.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like a more of a minority of people who are so suited for each other that, that's how it is. They're so cool with each other, it's not going to change. But not everybody's like that. And it's sort of a drag that, divorce is, considered such a failure, and it's such a, horrible thing. I mean, breaking up is not easy to do.
Right.
Divorce makes it 20 times harder. So in that way, maybe marriage, at least the legal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about spiritual marriage.
Right.
Why not? I mean, that's the thing I don't necessarily understand. Why do people sign papers and get a license? You don't really need that. We're living together, and you have a ceremony or whatever saying, pledging your love to each other and some spiritual, commitment or whatever, but you don't really need to sign papers.
Well, I think that's the making it official is for purely financial support reasons. I mean, you can't get insurance if you're not a spouse through someone else's insurance. You won't qualify if you're not legally married.
That's why people do it. That's why marriage was invented
in the first place.
Was
exactly,
a way of merging land together and
families.
Yeah, families and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's a financial thing. Right now, I mean, the tax breaks are, just for marriage are negligible. Like having a kid, a dependent is different.
A little more.
Mm-hmm. But you don't need to be married to declare a dependent.
That's
and you
true.
Can file a joint return even if you're not married.
Yep.
If you're living in the same residence. So, I don't know. I think people are pressured too hard to create this. We're overpopulated too. Not everybody has to have kids.
Right.
We don't all have to have kids.
Right.
It'd probably be a good idea if a lot of us forego it. And given how many people get miserable when they have children, because it's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
You hear people say, well, if you don't have a kid, you feel empty. But I don't think that's true.
No, I don't think that's true.
I think
either.
You can have kids and remain empty. That's BS that's been fed to us so our lives have, some kind of purpose where maybe life itself is all the purpose you need.
That's part of those old pressures. And those came from the same reasons the arrangements of marriage came from. You need to continue your bloodline so that you have someone to carry on your name. That's where that old, right, ancient pressure is coming from. And, you know, hundreds of years ago, that had some validity. Now, we are so over... I mean, our world is burdened with population.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what we were fearful for before. Boy, we don't need to be worried about that anymore.
No, we do not.
We're fine. Our family... I've got a lot of family. They are carrying it on.
They're good. Yeah, that you're absolutely right.
So that's there's that too. Anonymous has asked, have you ever had a threesome? And if you did, how did it work out? And would you recommend it?
I have had a threesome. A couple. Very.
A couple, like a man and a woman who are a couple together, or you've had more than one?
I've had more than one threesome.
Okay.
I loved it. If you get the opportunity, I would say why not? As long as no one's being, you know, hurt or manipulated, why not?
So what was the setup? How did it all come to be?
Well, I was just seeing a woman and she had a friend who, was interested in us and, you know, we just... hooked up. We just worked it out. Yeah, we worked it out. We talked about it. Figured out what everybody was cool with. I was much younger. I also, you know, for me, I actually get nervous, you know, in crowds. So there's I'm very nervous, you know.
Three's a crowd.
I think when you only do that sort of thing once in a while because it's so built up in your mind as this, you know, the pinnacle of sexual fantasy sort of thing. That it's very easy to get carried away by the nervousness. So, I mean, I think if you can work that sort of thing out, I would say have threesomes pretty regularly, like once a week, and that way you get really used to it. and you just mellow into it.
That's good. That's so as many recommend. As possible so that you get over those jitters.
Yeah, you want to get over the jitters and get a little bit professional about the whole thing so you're relaxed and you can really enjoy it. Yeah,
that's good advice for Anonymous. I'm sorry you're so fearful, Anonymous, that you didn't choose to say your name, but I hope whoever you are out there, you take Todd's advice and have as many threesomes as you can.
Lots of threesomes, you guys.
Was that the only one you had?
No, I had...
Did you ever have one where it was you and another guy and a woman?
No. Just hasn't come up.
Because that's a whole other dynamic.
From what I understand, like in the real world, that's the more common threesome.
I guess that would make sense.
It's easier to work out.
It's easier to find two men who are game than two women.
Yeah, exactly. Sad truth.
That is a... Well, actually, I don't find that very sad truth.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying it'd be nice.
Having had that, it's not so bad.
It's not so bad.
Okay. Well, cool. That's good to something to look forward to. Polly from Van Nuys.
Hey, Polly.
Hi, Polly. Would like to know, what is your strangest sexual fantasy?
Strangest?
Yeah, just could be even a dream that you had that was sexual, and you woke up saying, "What the? What?"
I don't think any of my sexual fantasies are like, you know, too unpredictable, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I was brought up Catholic, so all those things are, you know, kind of obvious. I mean, I don't have any real, like, nun fantasies or anything like that. I mean,
no.
To me, that's kind of silly. I'm not saying, you know, if a nun came to me and said, hey, I really want you, but I'm a nun, so it's a sin. But I would say, well, I gave up Catholicism, so it's only a sin for you.
That's kind of hot.
Yes. Yeah, so
knowing that she thinks that she's sinning.
Yeah, exactly. She's going to hell for my winky. That sounds all right.
See? Another one men have.
Yeah.
Winky.
Yeah, exact. Winky. Yeah.
It's just...
But you guys have breasts, and then you have the fun names for breasts.
Breasts alone are a word that is comfortable for most people.
Yeah, exactly. Boobs. You know,
yeah, boobs.
Fun.
Chest, Ta-tas, even, which is more general, but that people say that.
Chest beefers.
chest beefers? No, I've never heard chest beefers.
No.
No, that's a new one.
That's what Dad Boner likes to call him.
Ah.
He's on Twitter. You can follow him on Twitter at Dad Boner.
Dad Boner. He's a funny guy. Yeah. I have followed him.
Yeah, he calls them chest beefers.
Does he really?
Yeah.
You gotta love Dad Boner. So nothing, no sexual fantasies that are
worth? That are, no.
No?
No. I mean, I've had weird, like, sex dreams that were disturbing. Like, one where I had, like, a giant member, and it was so long I could suck on it myself. But I remember, like, in the dream, I was doing that, and felt all right, but then I looked at myself in the mirror, like, doing it, and my eyes were all evil. And I was like, I woke up, like, in a cold sweat, like, what am I dreaming? Why? It was terrifying.
I like that you pleasuring yourself was horrifying in the end.
Well, I was brought up Catholic. There's certain things that you never really wash out of your psyche.
I've heard that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad. But you created the perfect segue to our religious
parts now. Now we're in the religion.
So since you bring that up, Jonah from Scottsfield.
Hey, Jonah.
Scottsfield? Wants to know. Some people, we have listeners that go a long distance.
Yeah, that's great.
It's our waves travel far.
It's a very popular podcast.
And wide, exactly. Yeah. Is there a God? How do you know? It's a two-part question.
I don't know if there's a God, and there's no evidence to suggest there is, but there's no evidence to refute his existence either, which is why religions are faith-based, because there's no proof. I personally just, that's my spiritual attitude, is I don't know. I don't know. I'm not against the concept. I would say, I would genuinely hope if there is a quote unquote God, he doesn't really make a lot of sense if you think about it. And if you think about it, he's kind of a jerk because life isn't easy. And it's messy, and it's gross, and it's hard. So, you know, and then the concept that he's testing us, like all those concepts.
It's one train of thought.
Yeah. The omnipotent one being super being sort of concept.
Yeah.
I think that guy's kind of a jerk. So I'm not fond of. Not fond of that concept. I like a more sort of amorphous spirituality, and it's random and arbitrary, and you know. But
not a paternalistic symbol,
and not like some like test where you wind up somewhere eternally for being.
You're making the choices that you've made.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, on one hand, that's a nice fantasy because it's nice to think, you know, it would be nice if. You know, certain human monsters were burning in hell for all eternity. But
yeah,
given how easy, you know, the Catholic religion makes it to get into hell, you know, it's like, but a guy who, you know, stole a couple candy bars is hanging out with Dahmer and Hitler and Bin Laden.
It doesn't seem quite equal.
That's another reason.
So that doesn't ring true for you.
No, the whole thing sounds like, it sounds a little bit far-fetched to me.
Yeah, I follow you. I have similar beliefs, I feel like. That there's, you know, that there's inexplicable elements of our existence that kind of can send you into a bizarre tailspin if you try and unwrap them, figuring out why, what is this? What are we doing? How did this come to be? That line of thinking brings people to a religious place. But for me, it doesn't drive me to think there's something that has the qualities of a man who's puppet mastered all of this. It's more of there's something beyond this that is unexplained that perhaps will become clear to me later.
Right. I like that. I agree. And I think it's very important and wonderful for people to sit down and have spiritual discussions.
Right.
I am just not fond of actually defining things that you don't have intrinsic proof of.
Mm-hmm.
And then living your life according to an unchangeable doctrine based on wild theory.
Right. And by definition are exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. And exclusionary and, you know, often cruel. As soon as you start defining things like that, it leads to violence. It leads to disagreements that turn into violence.
Right.
On small scales and on large scales. I think if you like an idea, that's awesome. But you also, right. I think, to be a well-rounded person, you have to, you know, love a concept of spirituality, but be open to all the concepts of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And I love talking about it, and I think it's a great thing to talk about and explore and experience. But as soon as you define them, I don't know.
Well, that's where the fights start.
That's when the fights start, and that's when I become uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. Absolutely. We got a question from Marshfield. Hortense would like to know if you teach the Santa myth. I don't even know if you're a parent.
Oh, yeah.
You are a parent. So, do you teach the Santa myth to your child or children?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I teach a specific Santa myth. I don't know if you saw the film Rare Exports. but in that, Santa's evil, and the elves look like the Santa Claus that we know, and they go around to homes and eat the souls of children.
All children? Just...
Any children who are naughty.
Oh, naughty children. Uh-huh.
That likes naughty children, and most children are naughty. It's pretty easy to be naughty in the Rare Exports mythology. So that's what I like to teach my six-year-old son, so he's terrified to be bad.
Good. That's refreshing.
Yeah. And then if he's good, you know, he gets a piece of candy.
And if he's bad, he's dead. So it's
it works itself out on its own. Yeah, exactly.
So do you see similarities between the kind of, not blind, but just unquestioning belief in God to the desire to have children have an unquestioning belief in Santa?
Well, Santa's certainly a religious-based thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... that's...
Both you have to have faith in.
Yeah, absolutely. Santa Claus is fun, and Santa Claus is for children. And we all get older and eventually understand what it is, and then we have the choice of maintaining the fantasy, you know. And to me, Santa Claus is just kind of a fun fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the regular one, not the Rare Export one. So if you go with that, it's just having fun with kids, and it's just imagination, and there's nothing wrong with encouraging imagination. And nobody lives or dies according to the story of Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
No one lives or dies by that. No one's going to go to war over whether or not children should be given presents by you know, magical being who can go to all the homes in the world.
And mm-hmm.
I think that's fine.
But it is, I actually see her point though, because for both of those figures, if you're good, you will reap the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
If you are bad, you get a consequence. I mean, you get coal in your stocking and you get no presents and you get Santa's wrath by being a naughty child, as you said.
Uh-huh.
And to God, Saint, you know, there's the punishment for being a sinful child or adult.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. I mean, I teach the Rare Export Santa Claus, so it's all terror.
Is that Dutch? Is that a Dutch movie?
Or Norwegian or something like that.
It was Scandinavian somewhere.
Sweden.
It's somewhere. From
it's from over there.
Over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard question. I teach the terror Santa Claus to keep my kid in line. But I think it's sweet to have a nice Santa Claus, too.
I'm going to have to check that out. Rare Exports?
Rare Exports.
Good. Yeah. That'll be a good one when I get together with my family. I'm going to throw that one on the night before Christmas. Have that be our new tradition.
There you go. That'll do it.
Marnie from Sausalito would like to know, if you were the leader of a new religious organization, what would its teachings be?
Well, I mean, I think we've already...
Yeah, we have
touched on it. We've pretty much covered this. If I ran a religion, it would be about making sure...
All the women had sex with you.
There are women, and there's lots of three ways. Good. Two female, mm-hmm. one male, three ways.
Good.
That's like the religion.
I understand. Yes, that's important.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
So without that...
So sex-based is...
Sex-based religion is... Yeah, threesome-based religion.
So spirituality through Candyland.
Yes. Candyland is my Jesus.
All hail Candyland.
Oh, Candyland.
Oh, good. So there you go, Marnie. That's if you would like to join Mr. Todd Robert Anderson's brand newly forming religion, you can just email us here at the Toncast, and we'll let you know how to get in touch with Todd. I'm sure his wife will be very excited about.
She's
on board.
Excited.
Good.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
she
good.
Loves. She wants to have as many threesomes as possible. She's kind of, I'm like, she wants to have them so often, and I'm like, hey, slow down.
Just back off,
sister. You can't do this every night, or it won't be special.
See, I thought you, wait a minute, that now you're sort of backtracking. I thought you said you do need to have as many as possible to get the jitters
yeah.
out.
I mean, I think there's a balance, yeah. I mean, okay. I think you should have them every other day.
Oh, okay.
You should take a break so it doesn't, you know, become old hat. You want to keep it somewhere.
I see. So just enough to get the jitters out.
Yeah.
But no more.
No more. You don't want to go overboard.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, good. So you'll have to figure out what that number is for yourselves when you start your religion.
Yeah, it's different for everybody.
Trent from Sherburne would to know.
Hey, Trent.
Hi, Trent. If God does exist, what does he think of you?
Oh, you mean the... Like
the paternalistic, I'm assuming, like, it's, you know, the typical...
He thinks I'm a disrespectful douchebag.
Why is that? Why does he think that?
Because I'm irreverent.
Uh-huh.
And
about him,
I'm irreverent about him and most things that people tend to be reverent about.
Oh, for shame!
Irreverent fella. I'm just a grumpy old man.
Well, shame on you, Todd. But I think that God might not have a problem with that.
I'm not fighting my own personality.
Good, own it.
It's not healthy. I own it.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So there, take that, Trent, and smoke it.
Yeah.
And then the last question that I like to ask is, if you could name one thing that would make the world a better place, what would it be?
You
could affect one change in the world.
100% shift from fossil fuels to renewable energies. 100% worldwide, everybody goes solar and wind and water. And that's the energy that we use to power our electronics and our cars and everything else. And boom, that would affect the world in a huge way.
Wow, that is
as positive as can be, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. I thought you were going to say threesomes. That if everybody in the world had threesomes, we might have some real world peace.
Well, I think that if we switch to renewable energies, the pollution will go away. You know, the oceans will clean, our food will be better. And we'll have more energy and there'll be more love. And the threesomes will just naturally happen as a result.
As naturally as the solar panels themselves.
You don't have to force people into the threesomes.
Uh-huh.
If you make the world cleaner and less polluted and make everybody healthier, then the threesomes will just fall in line.
Oh.
It's a natural result.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Todd Robert Anderson. I'm so happy you were on the show.
It was great to be here. I don't, you know, normally leave my estate My people said, you got to get out, you got to start talking to commoners, and I'm kind of glad I did.
Well, I appreciate it. I hope that you enjoyed all the things you required us to have in this room. The
very
particular brands of unopened bottled water with bowls of lemons, and
you guys did a great job.
Yeah, there's a table filled with things that have been untouched, but I'm glad that they were there for you.
Well, it's just that's just how you have to do it. Because if you don't get those riders in the contracts, and you know, and they don't, it's like that's how you know they're paying attention. Is if they put the stuff out, you tell them to.
Ah, so it was all a test.
It's all just a test. Just covering, making sure I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, you are, Todd.
Oh, thanks, Miss Hill. You are too.
Oh, gosh. All right, that's our show for today, and we hope to see you again. Toncast presents God and Oh God.